You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It is time to make some good decisions and win some money here on the SB Nation NFL show with the Football Cheat Sheet. I am your host, Michael Kist. Gina Kelly would usually be with us, but she is out sick today. But that's all good because we have the clairvoyant Kate Majuk joining me here of DK Nation. Kate, we almost sounded like we knew what we were doing last week. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. A clairvoyant is a nice alliteration to kick off the weekend, the wild card slate. Super excited to have that official. I think that's going to be my new Twitter handle. I think that clairvoyant Kate.
I like that.
Got to keep rolling with that. But you know what? We have some really exciting games here on the wild card slate. Some interesting divisional matchups. We have a rematch of the Baltimore-Tennessee game from last season, which upset was probably one of the biggest upsets, maybe aside from the Patriots' loss of that entire playoff run last season. There's so much interesting. There's just a lot of interestingness, like a lot of interesting storylines this week. I'm very excited about.
Yeah, there's a lot to take in. And look, if you heard the show last week, and hopefully you did, and hopefully you took our advice and won some serious scratch, you know that since traditional fantasy leagues are done and dusted, we have made a shift and we are now going heavy in on the daily fantasy, the DFS. So that's going to be the major theme of the show here up top, talking about must plays, must fades of a wild card weekend. After that, we'll get into some betting with money lines, spreads, over unders, and so on and so forth. Remember, if you like what we're doing here and we're helping you make some money this season, subscribe, rate, and review. It really helps other people discover the feed. And of course, tell a friend. You don't have to hide us from your league rivals anymore. Tell them to get in on the action with us, and let's get involved with some action and dig into this DFS slate for wild card weekend. There's six games going down, so 12 teams involved with this. There's a lot of decisions to make, and we start up top with some news that we've touched upon, you know, earlier in the week on the other shows here. But I'm curious, just as far as like teams that you want to avoid, I think the big question right now is happening with the Cleveland Browns and maybe the NFL, and we're recording this on Friday at 11 p.m., but maybe the NFL will allow Kevin Stefanski to somehow call in plays from the outside and do it virtually or whatever the case may be. But right now it looks like head coach Kevin Stefanski of the Browns is not going to be at the game and calling plays. They've also got Joel Bitonio out, who is their Pro Bowl guard, which could heavily impact a lot of things that they like to do. Kate, when you look at the Browns, has this kind of scared you off for them? Because they haven't been able to practice all week. Their facilities have been shut down. What do you think about this situation?
It is a situation that I think I want to avoid. It's not a situation that I was super pumped with to begin with. You're looking at a Ben Roethlisberger versus Cleveland Browns situation. We know he loves a good revenge game against the Browns. This game is in Pittsburgh, which I don't know that there's a ton of weather to worry about, but Pittsburgh just plays better in Pittsburgh. So I think you have to consider that. But then all of this extra prep that they're putting into just coordinating the actual logistics of the game, all of that is taking away from their opportunity to prep for their actual game matchup. Baker Mayfield said yesterday he hasn't thrown a pass all week. I think there's only so much you can do in your virtual prep. I'm a little bit worried, and I think maybe outside of the running backs, I think that's going to be their best asset, as it usually is. Outside of the running backs, I probably don't want to touch much of this because there's just so much. There are too many question marks for me.
Yeah, I agree. I'm pretty much avoiding the Browns, and like Nick Chubb might be part of that. Maybe you want to take a swing on him, but we'll talk about that when we get into like the running backs here. Let's start with the quarterbacks here, with the DFS lineups as we see it. The most expensive quarterback on Saturday is Buffalo's Josh Allen at 7,500, who even last week with only 2.5 quarters of play put up a respectable number. The 2 weeks before that, he hit well over 30 points each time. This is a Buffalo offense that is averaging 47.3 points per game in their last three outings, making them the hottest offense in the league. As I detailed on Wednesday's NFL show on this feed in my chat with Bruce Nolan of Buffalo Rumblings. Kate, we'll start here. Josh Allen is an alien cyborg bent on world destruction, but is he a must play this weekend, or are you fading with a different lock? How do you see the top tier of this quarterback situation for DFS?
I think when I'm looking at, you know, this slate, whether you're just playing, you know, your Saturday games, whether you're doing a mixed slate Saturday, Sunday, Josh Allen is so far and away next tier. I cannot believe if you're looking at the full weekend slate, Lamar Jackson actually beats out his price by $300, which is outstanding to me, because the you know, inconsistency of the play of Lamar Jackson has absolutely nothing on Josh Allen and the way that he's been playing at just absolute MVP level. I think he's such an easy choice. It's, again, kind of like we talked about last week with the Derrick Henry pick. It's chalky, but I think the upside and edge that you get with Josh Allen in your lineup, it just supersedes any of the chalkiness that you might be tasting there with that pick.
And what's fascinating about this Bills offense is they were so aggressive, even in the second half against the Dolphins, who has a solid defense. They put up 28 points after Matt Barkley came in. So
it was a statement.
Yeah, big time. You saw like Dable rocking back and forth in his chair as he's dialing up post wheel to Dawson Knox, and he's like second and long. You're just like, run the ball, man, run the clock. And he's like, no, we're going for it. And that really excites me from a production standpoint. So like my take on that is I'm not leaving, right? I'm not leaving. The Colts defense is giving up fantasy points. They're also giving up passing yards lately. The Bills offense has been a buzzsaw against some tough opponents, right? These are not tomato cans, as I talked about with the Dolphins. And things can get a little bit tighter in the playoffs. But if that's the case for everybody, then I'm not scared off Josh Allen. I'm smashing Josh Allen at 7,500. And Kate, as you look at the rest of the quarterbacks here, maybe you can convince me to add a little spice into my lineups where I don't have Josh Allen. Are you going with another John Wolford special, or is there something else on the menu here?
I will say, you know, at $4,900, not bad. He's actually priced under Taysom Hill, who's not going to see nearly as many snaps. I think John Wolford, I mean, for what he costs in terms of salary, didn't kill you, but it did leave you some room in terms of your salary cap for your Derrick Henrys and some of those pricier picks that paid off. Gosh, like Stephon Diggs, if you find room for these other excellent plays, that might help to alleviate some of that extra pressure that you maybe don't get to put on your opponents with a John Wolford pick. But hey, you know what? We saw Van Jefferson with a season high in receiving yards, season high in DraftKings points, I believe. I'm not hating it. I'm not.
That might be the ultimate punt play there in the playoffs. I love it. I had Ryan Tannehill. Let's go to the Titans here. I had Tannehill as a lock in their matchup with the Texans last week. I think I'm going to fade him this week. Over the past 4 weeks, the Ravens have allowed the sixth fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. Their defense has gotten healthier in that span. They are one of the better defenses against play action, which the Titans utilize heavily. I think they're going to be able to manufacture a decent amount of pressure. So I expect a decent but ultimately bland and perhaps not useful outing from Ryan Tannehill. And right now, his cost on DraftKings is $6,600. I just feel like you might be able to get better value as you kind of look around. I mean, that's the same price for Russell Wilson. Tom Brady is only $300 more. When you look at that, like that second tier, is there anything that stands out to you? How do you like Tannehill there?
You know, I don't really like many quarterbacks in the second tier players. I think really interestingly, all of these wildcard games are pretty well matched up. You know, you even look at the Saints-Bears slate and you think, what a god-awful game, what a mismatched game. But for an offense like the Saints, what they need to face in a situation like this is a team and a defense like the Bears with Khalil Mack, with Akeem Hicks. These guys are, you know, if you're going to put up anybody to stop this kind of a power offense, I think you have to look at the Bears and think, you know, maybe those are really the only guys worth a darn in terms of somebody who can stop them. I think all these teams are so well matched offensively and defensively that I don't know. I feel like Josh Allen is the only play that I'm overly comfortable with. And, you know, if I'm not going with Josh Allen, why not have a punt play?
Right.
You know, maybe a Mitch Trubisky who could break off a run and get you some points on the ground there. But other than that, I'm really not excited about any of these quarterbacks. So, I'd prefer to take as low tier of a salary as I can, because I think all of these guys have similar upside this week outside of Josh Allen, just because of their defensive matchups. It's a pretty well matched week.
Yeah, and like I mentioned with Tom Brady, I'm kind of with you on this. I'm not really sold on anybody else other than Josh Allen, even with Brady and the red hot Bucs offense and the philosophical shift that they've had on offense that has allowed that has given them the opportunity to score a lot of points. I just think Washington's defense is going to be able to do enough to bog them down. We have seen inconsistency from the Bucs in the past, so it wouldn't surprise me if this is a little uncomfortably tight early on, maybe more than it should be. Maybe we'll talk about that when we get to wide receivers as well. There might be a stack that you could sell me on there, but let's transition to running backs. And Kate, we had a big discussion surrounding the two chalk running back plays of week 17 that involved Alvin Kamara and Derrick Henry. And I'm afraid we're going to have that conversation again. And now, to be clear, we are recording again around 11 a.m. Eastern on Friday. Alvin Kamara's game status is still up in the air, as far as I know, as he tries to work his way out of the COVID protocol, which made him miss last week. For the purposes of this exercise, let's just assume that he's able to play. And if he does play, remember the last time we saw him, he was putting up 6 touchdowns on the board. And the last time we saw Derrick Henry, he ran all over Houston to the tune of 250 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kate, how are you attacking this, once again, chalky conundrum this week? Because I'm half of a mind to fade Henry against the Ravens and smash Kamara if he plays. Do you see it similarly, or are you going to try to sell me different?
I'm going to continue to roll in Derrick Henry's direction. Kamara, you know, I obviously love the play, but I do think he's just been more of a touchdown-dependent asset. When you're considering the price, you know, there's only a $700 difference here, which is a lot, especially when you are talking about looking into some of these upper tier players who are going to, they're definitely going to cause you to reach in other directions for some of those low cost options. I think I'll stick with Derrick Henry because, like I said, he's been less dependent on the touchdowns. He's still scoring them, but, you know, the Ravens, I think the biggest issue for, you know, some of the opposing teams running against the Ravens has just been, you know, some of that game script narrative that, you know, they need to maybe throw the ball to catch up. Last season against the Baltimore Ravens, we saw Derrick Henry put up 28 rushing attempts, 133 yards, and a score. You know, if you're looking at that performance there and you're saying, Derrick Henry can do better, I'm not gonna spend the cash, I think that's fine. Love J.K. Dobbins as a pivot pick if you're not looking for one of those top tier chalk plays, $6,600. So you know, compare that to your Alvin Kamara, you save almost $2,000 there in salary, and I do think you're getting a top end pick against a Titans defense which has been quite leaky on the run.
And you talk about saving some money, and maybe this is a chalk play that's kind of underrated, because like you mentioned, Derrick Henry at 9,200, Alvin Kamara at 8,500. What about Jonathan Taylor at 7,900? Because last week he put up 253 yards on the ground. The obvious bell cow feature back in that game for them. Not going to give you much in the way of receiving. However, if he gets that kind of volume against Buffalo, depending on the game script, and I think that's important with Buffalo being able to put up points, maybe Nyheim Hines is a sneaky play there, but it seems like Taylor is dominating that backfield in Indianapolis, right?
I think that is the case. And the exciting thing, too, I think about Jonathan Taylor is that he hasn't been totally written out of the passing game. It's not like he's heavily involved as a passer, but you know, just 3 weeks ago had 5 targets. Not bad. Again, it's not a consistent involvement in the passing game, but you know, I think for the statement he has made with this offense, even if they get behind, you can't necessarily write him out of the game. And I think the team has definitely been making a statement with him. 2 touchdowns in 3 of the last 4 games. I think he's a great pivot play. If you're not, you know, I will say I'm always of the belief that Derrick Henry is a worthy buy, especially if you can slot him in as a, you know, a captain pick, if you can find other plays of value to support that. But Jonathan Taylor, probably a chalky pick this week, but at least you're saving some cash. And I think he has not quite the same upside, but just as good as.
When you look at the rest of the running backs, is there a punt play or a value play that you really like, or is it really kind of cut and dry who you're going to kind of take at the top there?
This sounds gross, but if anybody has been listening to me throughout the season, I've been one of the biggest Zach Moss believers in the NFL. I think this kid is just so bound for a breakout. You know, he's been tremendously involved over the last 3 weeks. Not tremendously. I won't. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself with the word tremendously there. But
they kind of shut him down last week. But before that, I would agree with you. Yeah.
Yes. The last 3 games, he did see 10 carries in each of those contests. But the beautiful thing about Zach Moss in this matchup, he's still really well priced at $4,600. Only ahead of guys like Leonard Fournette, Latavius Murray, Carlos Hyde. In terms of a value pick, you know, I think it's hard to find guys that are getting the playing time on the field as much as Zach Moss is. Another pivot play. Let's talk about the fact that Kareem Hunt is sitting at $4,800. I think maybe we're overestimating this you know, defensive matchup against the Steelers. They're hurting at linebacker right now. They've already lost, you know, Devin Bush. Yeah. They've lost yes, Vince Williams. They're I think hopefully perhaps getting Robert Spillane back, who I want to say came back in for Devin Bush. But, right. You know, he's been banged up. Every single linebacker that has come in for the Steelers has been hurt. And they're playing with second, third, and fourth string linebackers. I think we need to consider Kareem Hunt as more of those options, you know, open up. They haven't been able to, shut things down as well as they have earlier on in the season. And let's be honest, they give up big chunk plays. That's a great place for, you know, players like Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. But with Kareem Hunt, you get the value that Nick Chubb isn't necessarily providing there.
Yeah, I definitely understand your point there. And let's go to the wide receivers and see if maybe there are some warning signs there, because I think the big thing that stands out to me when I look at this, and it's not Stephon Diggs at 7,700. It's not Chris Godwin at 7,000, who's probably going to be one of my locks for the week. But when you look at the Saturday slate, the one that really troubles me is DK Metcalf at 6,700 and his teammate Tyler Lockett at 6,900. Now, they're going up against the Rams, and the Rams cornerbacks, Darius Williams, Jalen Ramsey, like two of the best in the game.
They're right frightful. Now.
Yeah, exactly. And when you look at the production from DK Metcalf against the Rams, first game, he had 2 catches for 28 yards. Second game, only 6 catches for 59 yards. So getting better, but like that's not going to win you anything. And then Lockett against the Rams first time, 5 catches for 66 yards, and then 3 catches for 44 yards. There has not been a duo in the league that has been as good at shutting down these two stud wide receivers as the Rams. As such, are you fading them, or do you think that they can come through in this spot, Kate?
I am 100% fading them. Okay. It feels gross. I love the players. The triplets of Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, and Tyler Lockett, that set of players, I don't know if you could find 3 players with a better chemistry and better just everything, vibes, talent. They've got the entire package, but the Rams, they are a shut down secondary. And I think we've seen twice this season that the talent isn't enough for the Seahawks wide receivers to overcome that. Russell Wilson, it's not like he plays lights out against the Rams. This is a divisional game. I think, you know, we need to know that these teams understand each other very well. And, you know, that does tend to lead to, you know, pretty good defense when you know your opponent that well. So I'm fading these guys. I think there are just so many other wide receivers on the lower tier that have high ceiling potential. Look at like Chase Claypool sitting at $5,200 up against the Browns. A player like T.Y. Hilton, who continues to perform, $5,100. I just think there are so many really good wideouts that are maybe just below that cusp that you don't really need to pay up, I think, for any of these studs. You know, even in terms of like the Chris Godwins, and look at, you know, the fact that you do have Mike Evans with a knee injury. Mm. You have Antonio Brown sitting there at $6,100. I think there's just so much value in this slate of games in terms of the wide receiver position. I'm not looking to pay up.
Yeah, if I'm looking to play matchups, like you mentioned Antonio Brown, I'm 100% with you there. He's supposed to go up against Ronald Darby, and Darby, former Eagle, who I covered for a long time in Philadelphia. I don't think he's going to be up to that task. You look at Chris Godwin. I mean, Chris Godwin is slated to, because he gets a ton of slot reps. If he gets a ton of slot reps, he's going to be going up against Jimmy Moreland. Jimmy Moreland is 5'11", 183 pounds. Just look at Chris Godwin, and you know that's a mismatch. So while I might be fading Tom Brady, if I am playing him, I might play him with a stack with Chris Godwin or Antonio Brown, but I'm definitely getting a piece of those wide receivers there. I'm with you on Lockett and Metcalf. It pains me because I love them. However, I am completely avoiding that matchup. You mentioned T.Y. Hilton. That's an interesting one for me because I am really, really scared that Tre'Davious White is going to follow him around, and that's going to funnel targets elsewhere. So I think I'm going to fade Hilton at it's 5,000 is really tempting, but I think I'm going to stay away from that one. When you look at the rest of the wide receivers, does anything else stand out to you?
I think we have to pay a little bit of attention to wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie going up against the Colts. I feel like we still have that fear of the Indianapolis Colts, but look, this dude put up 30 DraftKings points last week on 6 targets, had 2 touchdowns. I'm absolutely loving Isaiah McKenzie, had a nice return touchdown. He's involved in all phases of the game. And you look at the fact that I'm projecting this team to be without Cole Beasley this week. Mm. You know, I think either Isaiah McKenzie or Gabriel Davis, the rookie, yes, has a chance at a really nice day. Because you know what? It doesn't really seem troublesome to me at all that Josh Allen's done, you're down one receiver, because this is a guy that knows very well how to spread the ball, despite the fact that Cole Beasley is probably one of the most underrated receivers in the league right now, with just the plays he's been able to make in this offense. I don't know. I think one of these guys, you have a chance to really break something off. Isaiah McKenzie, sitting at $3,300. I think that's a nice, easy play. Gabriel Davis is at 4,000. So I think either way, you have high upside with the potential to save some nice money there.
And Gabriel Davis has seen at least 5 targets for his 4th straight game. I could absolutely see him getting a big play out of him. And that's a huge value. If you get a big play for a touchdown there, $4,000. Yeah, I'm taking that all day. What about tight ends? I'll tell you, I don't know if I necessarily love any of these matchups at first blush, but can you sell me on something here, Kate?
I'm not a huge fan of any of these matchups. Like okay. You said, you always have to be cautious, but the issue is you're looking at, you know, sort of one starting tight end for each of these teams. There's not a ton on the board. So you can really either just completely roll the dice, throw caution to the wind. But if you're looking to actually, try to play a matchup, I'm looking at Jared Cook. You know, the Bears have been very strong on defense, but one of their only weaknesses really has been the tight end position. I think Jared Cook, you know, is a nice play towards that. We don't necessarily know if Alvin Kamara is going to be available yet. But, you know, we have seen him be able to step up. He's had 11 or more DraftKings points in 4 of the last 5 games. So I think if you're looking to play that there, great. I don't know. Give me a dart throw. Is there anybody that you're looking at their price and you're just saying like, this is a worthy dart throw pick?
I was going to go super punt at 2,500 with like Adam Troutman from New Orleans. Okay. Cause I kind of like his matchup there. I really do think it's like, you know, you kind of have to play Mark Andrews. If you're not playing one of the Tampa Bay wide receivers, you probably got to play Rob Gronkowski. Dawson Knox is an interesting one if you're not taking up on the Buffalo wide receivers. But like, man, outside of that, it's tough. I really think it's just like you got to plug in Gronk or plug in Mark Andrews and just kind of like eat the bullet on that one. Because I don't think any of these other tight ends are like super attractive, and you just kind of have to get lucky. I think you're feeling the same way, right?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, this is sort of the same exact situation that we had with Josh Allen here. When we looked at just the overall game slate, the matchups, it's just not crazy enough about any of these punt plays that I feel comfortable. I would rather spend up, you know.
You mean you don't want to spend some cash on Adam Troutman?
I'm not looking to you know what, let's be honest, the entire season has just been one giant dice roll at the tight end position, right? So like if that's gonna be your move this week, I don't hate it, but I just feel more comfortable sliding in, you know, my Logan Thomas, my Jared Cook. It's not worth it to me this week. I'm gonna stick with the chalk and roll on.
See what happens when Rob Tonyan isn't out there.
I know. You know what? He, goodness gracious. Yeah. Next week, he's my lock.
Yeah, there we go. It doesn't even matter who they're playing. You got to lock Tonyan. Nope. He defies logic. All right, so that is what it looks like for the DFS slate. When we come back, we'll get into some over-unders, some prop bets, some stuff that's going to win you some money. That's coming up next here on the Football Cheat Sheet.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And we're back here on the Football Cheat Sheet, episode 18. Here with Kate Madjuk, brought to you by the SB Nation NFL Show. I am Michael Kist. And look, let's break down the rest of the gambling that you're going to be doing this weekend. I was taking a look at some over-unders, and I know you're a big John Wolford fan, and I just can't help myself because the line is already low. Like, the over-under for Rams Seahawks is at 42, but I don't know if I trust this Seahawks offense to really do much against this Rams defense. We kind of detailed it when we talked about Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf not having success at all against Jalen Ramsey and Darius Williams. As such, the Rams are pretty toothless there. I don't even care which quarterback they play. Jared Goff really can't throw the ball with that thumb. And Wolford is Wolford. He might give you some nice upside as a runner, but overall scoring, I don't think this game touches 42. Who knows with Seattle? Like, this could be like super weirdly close and low scoring, and it might come down to like an overtime field goal boink or something like that. I don't know. Seattle is always so inexplicable. But how do you feel about that one? Or is there anything else that you're eyeing there with the lines, the over-unders?
Over-unders, I'm not too psyched about, outside of maybe Colts versus Buffalo. I think, I don't know, this Buffalo Bills team is something special. I don't know if you watched the special that they released last night. It was like a 20-minute just absolute hype fest for the Buffalo Bills.
I saw them dancing. They were hype, yeah.
They've got so much swag, and I think that they've got just this energy that you know, we're not going to be able to match. But let's think about the fact that this is home playoff game for the Bills. They are going to be allowing fans. Bills Mafia is nuts. I think that the Bills are going to absolutely destroy, and I think they're going to pull a nice trick like they did in Miami. I think they're just going to keep scoring, making statements. I don't think the Colts defense is scary enough to stop Josh Allen and company. I think they just have too many offensive weapons, even without Cole Beasley. I'm taking the over here, even at 51 points, because I think the Bills can do enough damage on their own that their offense is strong enough. And you know what? Their defense isn't strong enough that I worry that the Colts won't be able to match them with some points, even if, you know, they're garbage time points. I'm interested in that over under, but outside of that, I'm not too psyched, but I do like your under for the 42 points, Rams for Seahawks. Doesn't seem sexy because we tend to think of these offenses as these high flying, Sean McVay versus one of the best quarterbacks in the league. We tend to think of these teams that way, but in this divisional matchup, I like we said before, when we were talking about the wide receivers for Seattle, these teams know each other quite well.
Yeah.
They know each other defensively, and you're looking at one of the best, if not the best secondaries in the NFL. I'll take the under there too.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I think as we look at some of the other matchups, the biggest underdog this week, and this is a real shocker, but it's the Chicago Bears. they're getting 10 points from the New Orleans Saints. I'll throw this out there to you, Kate. Rob said this on the Rob Stats Guerrera on the Oddcast on Tuesday. He was kind of playing around with the idea of a Bears upset. Is that a swing that you want to take? Because when you look at the odds there, they're at that plus 400 on the money line. They're getting 10 points. Do you take in either of those?
I might want to take the 10. I'll take the 10 points. Okay. I don't know if I'm brave enough to smash the money line unless I'm going all out and maybe going to parlay that with the Washington money line, which I want to talk about in a second.
Yeah.
Unless we're going all out here and just going for that big home run play, I don't think the Bears, because of their strengths on defense, because of the fact that Mitch Trubisky is playing a bit better than maybe he has in recent years, right, at least. He's been playing fairly well. He's been a game manager. Their run game is working really well. It might be a closer contest than we think, especially with the fact that these are two solid defenses. So I'll take them, the Bears plus 10, but I'm not so big on the money line there.
Yeah, I think I would take them to cover as long as I know that especially if Kamara is not playing. I think I'm comfortable there, but I don't think I'm going to take the money line there. You mentioned Washington, and I know a couple of people that I talk with that are pretty good at this. Say, I don't know about Tampa Bay really wanting to see Washington, even though Washington needed a tank from Philadelphia to really close them out in week 17. But the way they match up, maybe they give them problems. What are you seeing from Washington there?
I think Washington, I'm going to be publishing a piece over on DraftKings Nation either today or tomorrow on why this is such an exciting matchup. I think this is like one of the most interesting games on the slate, despite the fact that it sounds like one of the most mismatched matchups of the wild card slate. We're looking at a worst to first fairy tale under Ron Rivera. We're looking at a team who doesn't, deserve to be there. Really, they're the third team in NFL history who has made the playoffs with a losing record. Do you know who the last team to do it was? It was the Carolina Panthers under Ron Rivera.
Oh, my God. What?
Yes, the 2014 Carolina Panthers. Let's look at their defense. They're so well matched. If you're looking at defensive statistics, and I'm not going to bore you with all of them, they're matched very well with the Tampa Bay Bucks. In terms of yardage given up, they've given up much less yardage offensively than the Bucs defense has. Obviously, that's going to have something to do with the fact that they've been playing the NFC East over and over again. Mm. But, they're getting pressures on opposing quarterbacks. They're getting sacks. They have just this absolute fundamental storyline that is just so exciting for the underdogs. And guess what? Each of those two teams who did have a losing record has advanced to the divisional round. When they made the playoffs. So I think there's just a lot of interesting stories. Let's think about the fact that look at the season this team went through. Look at all the controversy. They have been counted out. Nobody thinks they believed or nobody thinks they belong there. You're playing for your head coach who just defeated cancer. Like, let's talk about the all of the things that these guys have to play for. Chase Young, so talented. I just think this is such an interesting game because they do seem like one of those teams that is able to rally against that storyline. They're a physical football team. They do have, you know, Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin, both listed as questionable, but I'm presuming that each of them are playing. Right. If they're active, I actually think this could be one of the biggest upsets of the entire wild card round.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And just looking at it from like a football sense, you know, in the trenches, I really believe that if you have a defensive line that can take over a game, the rest of it really doesn't matter. You can stay in any game. And we saw Chicago do this to Tampa Bay earlier in the season. As I talked about, I think the Bucs are a much different team. They've shown more consistency on offense. But we saw what that offense looked like when Chicago was able to rack up the pressure. It's hard to do against Tampa Bay because I think they have a great offensive line. But if anybody is able to do it, it's Jonathan Allen, it's Montez Sweat, it's Chase Young, it's Daron Payne, and so on and so forth. So I think Washington is well-equipped to really disrupt what the Bucs do offensively. And if they can do that and you're able to get to the end stages of the game and you still have a chance, anything can happen in the playoffs. It can get weird. So,
oh yeah. And you know what, this, like, all of these teams are talented. You know, the Washington football team, they've had their ups and downs, but they've had some really just big plays. If you've watched them throughout the season, where you see this spark and you're like, oh, that, you know, that's actually like some good football. I feel like all of those plays have been few and far between, but, you know, Tom Brady's on the road. We're not talking enough about that either.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that this team is getting, you know, home field advantage, not that it means much in terms of, a fan perspective, but they don't have to worry about traveling for this outing. You know, they're on their home turf. They're comfortable. I think you definitely have to consider, you know, this as, you know, if you're going for any parlay this week, I'm going to throw this into every single parlay because the odds boost that I'm going to get there with the Washington football team money line, I'm feeling good about it.
I love it. That is a big call. And we can end on that if you want, Kate, or you can throw out any other props or anything else that you're looking at there. Do you have anything else, or is that the one that you want to really stick in people's minds?
I want this to stick in people's minds. I can't wait to talk about this next week. I hope it actually comes out, turns out the way that I hope so. And you know what? If you're not brave enough to hit that money line, Washington's getting 8 points, which I think is more than enough to make me comfortable, especially at home while Tom Brady's on the road facing this defense that's able to generate pressure. Look, if there's anything that I love, it's watching Tom Brady under pressure. Because he looks human sometimes.
Absolutely.
Sometimes.
Yeah. All right, Kate, you want to say goodbye to the gentle listeners? Let them know how they can play DFS with us.
Absolutely. Please, everybody, be sure to subscribe via your favorite podcast platform. Drop your fantasy DFS gambling questions in the comments with a 5-star review if you think we deserve it. If we've helped you rank in some of that cash this year, we will answer them for you. Come play DFS with us. We have a standard 50K salary lineup, 10 people, $10 buy-in, top 3 payout. Check out Twitter at FFBallBlast if you are interested in joining up. Kist, can we count you in this week?
All right. Fine. I'll join in the festivities. I think I have to. Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. So we will we'll get that contest up here shortly. Looking forward to beating all of your booties with my stack of John Wolford here.
Van Jefferson, yeah. Excellent. So yeah, get in on the action. Come see if you could beat Kate. That's the real challenge here. I'll try to do what I
clairvoyant can. Clairvoyant
Kate. Try to be clairvoyant Kate. I love it. Thank you for joining us here on the Football Cheat Sheet. Make sure you tune in Monday for Monday Football Monday, where me, Pete Sweeney, RJ Ochoa are going to break down all of the weekend's action. We will catch you next time. Go dominate and have yourselves a day.